Well, Brian Gordon is like a lot of parents. He was super excited in the weeks leading up to the birth of his first child. And then reality set in, often at 4 a.m., when that baby wouldn't go back to sleep and crying was all he wanted to do. Parenting, Brian decided, wasn't exactly what he had expected. Brian Gordon spent nearly two decades at Hallmark before he was laid off about a year ago. When that happened, he turned to cartooning full-time with a focus on the joys and pains of parenting. His new book is Foul Language, Welcome to Parenting, and his work has gotten a terrific response with 300,000 Facebook fans and 70,000 Instagram followers. And we think you're going to like Brian Gordon right now. And welcome. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
And like, we're neighbors and we like didn't know it.
Yeah, I know.
We both live in Westwood. I'm a Kansas side.
Yeah, just down the street.
That's just great. Well, I really liked what you said in your introduction to this very funny book. And that is, you think that you're the only parents who's dealing with a hard baby. You and your wife are the only ones who aren't perfect parents. Everybody else is having a hoot with their perfect little ones. And then at some point you realize a lot of these parents aren't really telling the truth, Brian. How did you come across that realization?
It was hard fought. I had me sitting next to someone.
I've had exactly the same experience, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I was at work and I sat next to someone who had a baby the month before we did. So we would exchange a lot of notes from day to day.
Yeah.
And he had a very different baby than what I had. And so he had.
At least he said.
Yes. So yeah. He had the easy baby, or at least he said he did. So every day he would come in and be like, is your baby sitting up yet? I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, is your baby crawling yet? I'm like, no.
Is your baby writing cursive yet?
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Has your baby learned Mandarin yet? I'm like, no, he's just throwing up mostly. So it's, yeah. So we had a very, very different experience. And it was just more and more depressing as I went on. And I'm like, wow, we must really stink at this because our baby can't do anything.
Yeah, why do parents do that, Brian? What is it about us that we all have to tell the world that our kids are perfect? I don't quite understand it because I'm not sure we're doing ourselves any favors by taking that approach.
I think there's a lot of ego in it, you know, where it's just little mini versions of ourselves.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's just like, well, if, you know, maybe I'm a failure, but you know, this little version of myself, you know, he's great, he's amazing. No, yeah. he's just, and so it becomes this a contest of sorts between parents, like, you know, like, oh, what is your kid? Oh, that's nice what your kid's doing, but this is what my kid's doing.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's only when you talk to like some of your closer friends that are a little less filtered that you find out like, oh, they're all so horrible. And, you know, we are all just, no one has any clue what they're doing. And we're all just messing them up one way or the other. So,
Brian Gordon, the author of Foul Language, Welcome to Parenting, is my guest. When, you know, you write this in the introduction, Brian, once you cut through the clutter, and I love what you wrote here, you soon realize that every parent is a little scared. No one really knows what they're doing. Turns out all of us are just kind of making it up as we go along. And that's about as succinct a definition of parenting as I've seen in quite a while.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, my wife and I, we took all the classes and, you know, we
knew what you were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Supposedly.
We were, you know, 1,000% prepared. And, you know, and I was even giving a friend of mine had a baby, another friend, you know, it seemed like all my friends were having babies at once. Mm-hmm. And she came in and her baby was just having an absolute fit and was crying or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know if you know about swaddling, but, you know, I was just telling her all the ways, you know, I'd read, I'd taken the classes and I'm like, this is like, you know, when my baby comes along, it's going to be so easy. But let me tell you, and I started coaching her and she just had this glaze like, yeah. Anyways, my baby's screaming and I have to leave the building. And I'm like, all right, well, try swaddling, you know, let me know how like, and then my baby came along. I'm like, it won't stop screaming. So yeah. It's a very different experience.
So what point did you decide that documenting all this parenting stuff might be a worthwhile thing to do in your book, Foul Language here?
Well, I started on my own, gosh, and I guess it was in July of 2013. And I had done some stuff for Hallmark prior to that that was related to parenting. But it was in July 2013 that I was just started dabbling. I'm like, I wanted to do something outside of Hallmark. And I had written cartoons about, you know, everything else in the world. But, you know, most everything I was doing was parenting based. It was just, you know, and the old write what you know sort of thing. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, this is, you know, my day to day struggles. And I just, it was kind of a way of me to vent and just kind of like, get things off my chest and like, okay, I got to share this with somebody. And so I started posting on the internet to very little fanfare at first.
And the response was pretty quick, wasn't it?
It was slow. It was actually pretty slow at first. You know, there was I remember for the first few months that I was on Facebook, I had about 40 fans, all of whom I knew personally. And then I would post a cartoon and then it'd be like, this would go to my 40 fans. And then of those, maybe like three or four of them would actually like it. And the other 36 some odd would be like, nah, I don't know if I really feel good about liking this. You know, so it took a while for it to really kick in. But thankfully, we've made up for it.
So you were let go by Hallmark, what, a year ago or so?
Yeah, a year ago in June.
Was that a good thing in retrospect, given what's going on with the book?
Yeah, well, in retrospect, yeah, at the time it was.
At the time, not so much, probably.
Hyper tragic at the time. The when it happened in June, I had convinced myself prior to that. I've been through a number of rounds of layoffs and over the years, I mean, the company's just shrinking and you can only play musical chairs for so long before there's no more chairs. Mm-hmm. But I had, you know, assured myself, like, you know, at the house, we're like, well, surely Hallmark, you know, thinks so highly of me, they wouldn't dream of ever letting me go in a million years. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the sort of thing in hindsight. I mean, me and all my pals would sit around at lunch and, you know, like, you know, everywhere else, I suppose, people are like, you know, if I ran this place, you know, like, yeah, someday I'm going to shake the dust off of this old place and I'm going to set the world on fire and just you wait. And Hallmark basically played the role of mother bird and kind of kicked the little baby bird out of the net. Like, oh, yeah, big talker, let's see what you got. So
how did you get the word that you were gone?
It's funny on you know, they've done it in a number of ways. They try and keep you guessing. But this last round of layoffs was done through email.
Is that right?
Yeah, which sort of ironic. You would have thought I'd get a card or something. But so they...
You would think.
Yeah, you know, just, yeah, you know, oh, like...
Mail to your home, at
you know,
least.
Something,
yeah,
good, like, you know, you've been looking so tired, but so you're fired. I don't know, some sort of rhyme or something. They have a lot of writers there. Yeah, so at 1 o'clock, I got an email from Hallmark saying, you know, like, sorry, and then just stunned. And so I was just, you know, wandering around, and I'd, you know, I started getting all sorts of emails from, you know, friends and whatever like, who had heard. And then at 3 o'clock that day, serendipitously, I got an email from the Huffington Post, who had run a couple of my cartoons prior to that. And at 3 o'clock that day, 2 hours after I got fired, I get this email saying like, hey, Brian, we're wondering if you have any more cartoons for us.
You're kidding me.
No, it was just...
What a stroke of good fortune,
yes,
that was.
Yeah,
pick me up when you needed it most in the history of your life, right?
Yeah, so I crawled out from underneath my desk and, you know, answered the email. And I'm like, yeah, you can have the cartoons. You can have all the cartoons. Like, no one else.
Everything.
Yeah, please have all. And so the woman very kindly wrote back and she's like, yeah, maybe, like, oh my God, that's so... You know, that's so sad. Maybe we could do a thing on you. I'm like, yes, please, please do all the things on me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they ran a little article about who I was and what I was up to, and it kind of really set the wheels rolling for me.
So, but at that point, you already were doing the parenting cartoons, and
yes,
you chose the duck as your
yes,
your main character here. You know, why the duck as opposed to a dog or a cat or a giraffe?
Well, it comes in part from... after 18 years at Hallmark, the big four, animal-wise, on cards are kitties, dogs, bears, and bunnies. So if like you go to your local card aisle and you look like, oh, who's telling you happy birthday? It's usually kitties, dogs, birds, and bunnies. Bears and bunnies, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, over my 18 years, I had drawn 10 bajillion of each. So I was like, I need to draw something else. So I basically am like, I don't know. I was looking through my sketchbook and there was I did a doodle in there and it was a duck and he had a little expletive above his head and I, you know, captured it foul language, F-O-W-L. I'm like, ha ha ha, I'm so clever. So so when I was looking through my sketchbook and I was like, I need something to draw. I'm like, hey, ducks, I don't draw a lot of ducks and that's kind of a silly title. And so I just went with it. And, you know, so... it's a weird thing, but...
Well, do your kids and your wife remind you of ducks, Brian? Is that what we're talking about here?
Absolutely.
Honey, if you're listening right now, you might want to turn off the radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have very little resemblance, as it turns out. But.
I should point out that Brian Gordon will talk about parenting in his new book, Foul Language, at 7 Tuesday night. That's tomorrow night over at Rainy Day Books in Fairway. For tickets, 913-384-3126. That's tomorrow night at 7 at the bookstore itself, Rainy Day Books in Fairway.
I hate to that was actually last week.
That was last week?
Yes.
Oh, so, but we missed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just when
how did it go?
It went really well.
Yeah.
I was worried I was going to be sitting there telling people where other people's books were. But luckily, a number of people came out, and we had a pretty good showing. So.
Well, there's still books there to
yes,
go pick one up at Rainy Day Books.
Absolutely. Okay. Sign books.
Let's go to the first cartoon of your book, Foul Language, Brian. It's pretty simple. Babies is the headline, and underneath it are two panels. One is titled The Dream, a happy father or perhaps a mother is holding up his newborn. The second panel is titled The Reality, and it's the father in the same pose holding up the baby who has proceeded to spit up all over him. You seem
yes.
to be establishing a theme
yes.
right out of the gate
yes.
with this particular cartoon as you go into the book.
Absolutely. That's kind of a recurring theme in the book for me is the what you thought it would be and what it actually is. Or, you know, kind of a I try and take a kind of a realistic look, you know, and because that's been just over the 8 years that I've been a dad, it's just been a lot of like preconceived notions of what it was going to be like to be a father and what it actually is like to be a father. So that's
man. We're talking cartoons here, so they're a little hard to describe, but you can see some of the cartoons we're talking about if you go to Brian's website, which is foullanguagecomics.com, and that's foul, F-O-W-L, to see some of his work. You also have one early in the book with an exasperated parent who can't believe his little one doesn't like naps. And the parent cries, "Who hates naps?" I mean, no kidding. Hard to relate to that idea, isn't it, as we get older?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm constantly it's the sort of thing where you're dealing with these kids and you go into it thinking maybe, oh, they're a rational human being. And then you're like, oh, no, wait, you are anything but a rational human being. You're the opposite of a rational human being. So a lot of the logic where you're like, you know, you have to, you know, like, I'm hungry, eat something. No.
Yeah.
It's like, bleh. You know, it's like, why wouldn't you eat something? I don't want to. Eating's boring. And I'm like, you know, so there's a lot of that.
You try to make sense of something that you can't make sense of sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How many kids do you have now?
I have two.
Two. Okay.
Phoebe, 5, and Max, who is 8.
So you're right in the prime throes of all this business
yeah,
of parenting.
I'm in the thick of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both still super nuts. So.
Is it getting easier or getting harder?
It's certainly getting easier. I would, you know, I thought I was one and done, but now it's two and through. So it's the sort of thing where, like, you know, it's when I hear people now, you know, like, people who are having their first baby, like, we're having a baby. You know, I'm always like through clenched teeth or I'm like, oh, good for you. That's great. Oh, you're going to love it. It's so much fun. But yeah, it's definitely easier. You know, I remember talking to someone when I had a newborn and she had teenagers and I was like, I'm going through hell right now. And she's like, oh, wait till they're teenagers. I'm like, do your teenagers ever let you sleep?
Yeah.
Do they eat food on their own? I'm like, mine
yeah.
don't. And so it's like, oh, okay. She kind of backed away slowly. Like, okay, you win this one. And so
I remember a good friend of mine once gave me the advice that my kids were little. And he said, the older they get, the harder it gets. And I remember thinking, man, it was tough when they were little. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? But that's really what you're
yeah.
saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I certainly, you know, I don't have teenagers yet, but from what I've heard, you don't, if they're upset, you don't have to carry them around your living room bouncing them for like 3 hours at a time.
That's true. You can't pick it. They're too big to pick up
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to just bounce and sing to them like incessantly at 4 a.m. Just like, please stop screaming. So,
well, but maybe we're at a point where the federal government should hand out sort of a warning or a cautionary note to all people who go through the marriage ceremony, and so you understand what you're about to buy into here.
Yeah,
if you choose to go down that path,
you would think there would be some sort of a Surgeon General warning or something, just to like heads up, just so you know, this is.
There's another cartoon I wanted to ask you about where the dad character is lamenting how his son lacks ambition. You have the dad saying, all he ever wants to do is goof around with his friends and play video games. Meantime, his wife is staring at him hard, and the husband finally gets the meaning of her stare and concludes, stupid genetics.
Yeah, so that's the sort of thing where, you know, like there's a lot of stuff where I give my son grief, you know, where I'm like, you know, playing sports or scholastically or whatever. And it's the sort of thing where I'm like, you know, where I'm like, you should try harder. Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, you should really apply yourself to school. Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
You know, it comes from a knowing play, or, you know, like, you should try and play better at sports. Because your dad didn't, you know. So there's a, you know, I try and be understanding, but a lot of my parenting techniques comes from personal failures and knowing the pitfalls of that.
Well, how much of all of these storylines are about your own kids?
Almost all of them.
Really?
Yes. This is, it's basically like I illustrated my own personal diary. Every once in a while I'll get an idea from someone else, but if it doesn't, you know, if anything, it's like someone else comes to me and like, hey, have you ever written a joke about whatever? And I'm like, oh, yeah, gosh, my kid does that, too. I thought I didn't think that would be relatable. But I guess if your kid does it, that means there must be a million kids that do it. So, but otherwise, yeah, it's funny because I work from home and there's times where I'll be sitting upstairs in my studio and I'll be trying to think of a joke or something and my kids will come up and, you know, they'll have some sort of a snack emergency. They need, you know, yogurt pretzel stat or whatever, and they can't reach it. And so, you know, like, heaven forbid. And so I'm like, okay. And I'm just like, guys, I'm trying to, and so I'll go downstairs and tend to what, you know, whatever dire emergency is. And I'll just get frustrated and like, you guys are the, and then, you know, in the middle of the interruption, I'll be like, that's a good, thank you. And I'll just like go and jot it down. I'm like, that's a cartoon right there. Like
there
yogurt
go.
Pretzels with a blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. The thing that interrupts and frustrates me the most is the source of, you know, my inspiration.
What are you going to do when the kids get to be teenagers and they look at you with, threatening eyes and say, you better not be cartooning about me down the road? Because at my house, we've certainly gotten that message through clenched teeth. You better not talk about me again on the air, Dad, or it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You know, my son's already doing that. We were at the park the other day and he just tried to reach for the monkey bar. He leaped for the monkey bars and just like belly flopped on the ground. And it was just this kind of like silly whatever. We all kind of laughed. And my son just turned to me like, that's going to make it in the cartoon.
Oh,
isn't it?
Really?
So, yeah. So he's already pretty aware.
I was going to say, do they know what you do?
Yeah, they do. I mean, as well as they can. I mean, my son, he thinks he's famous, and I've had to like explain to him that it's not like a TMZ thing. Like, we don't have to worry about going to Hen House and getting followed by paparazzi. And my daughter, who's just five, she just like, I'm a duck. Like, yes, you are. Like, she's just, she knows it on that level. And
quack, quack. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like, and so she'll make quacky noises. But my son, you know, he gets a kick out of it, at least for the time being. So.
Well, Brian Gordon is the author of Foul Language, Welcome to Parenting. It's a hilarious book. I recommend it highly. And thanks so much for your time today. Sure,
thank
appreciate
you so
it,
much.
Brian. You bet.